Welcome to Geeks of the Square Table, episode 97. I'm your host, Lawrence of America, and with me today is...
JJ and Jesse.
Draven the Raven.
See...
It's old.
I still just don't like that.
That's okay. It doesn't like you.
It's not for you, Larry.
Fair enough.
Look, excuse me. It's not for you, Lawrence.
Y'all got catchy names. I can't do very much with my name.
Did you make that up?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
See, it makes it all right.
Then it's not your fault.
Yeah. It doesn't make it all right, but it's not your fault.
I could be that so Draven.
Oh,
that was a good one.
That would be pretty hilarious.
Oh, that's bad.
Especially knowing you, you should do an opinion, like a weekly opinion piece called "That's So Draven."
Yeah, it could be
an outright.
Yeah, I was gonna say it could be an outright.
Could.
You could do it while you're in Germany too.
I could do it while I'm in Germany.
Yeah, just something like whether it be a metal band or a comic or whatever, just
sad boy music.
Something that was not as very anti-Disney.
I like
Disney. He likes Disney.
Disney's good.
He's a big fan of Disney, apparently.
High School Musical is my favorite movie.
You're lying. Don't even look at me and say that.
Newsies was okay.
What was?
Newsies.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, when did Newsies?
When I was much younger.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I saw Snow White and that came out in the 30s.
Yeah, but I mean, Newsies, like, how often do you see memorabilia still current stuff like bed sheets?
I mean, I've never heard of the thing, so...
Yeah.
I guess
you know, Newsies wouldn't make a good bed sheet. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, it's a little depressing by today's standards. Yeah, because it seems it's about a bunch of homeless kids.
Yeah. But, I mean, also, today's standards, it's weird, because some things are more depressing by today's standards, but some things are pretty depressing.
This set in the Great Depression.
Yeah, I have.
So it's the Sad Boy Disney movie?
Sure, it's a Sad Boy Disney movie. You might enjoy it.
Well, of course, you know, a newsie was people that sell the paper.
Right.
Much like the homeless paper is today.
Contributors.
And then there's the faith one.
Yeah. It's competitor.
Yeah.
I rarely buy the contributor, to be honest, and I definitely never buy the faith one.
I used to buy the contributor because it was well-written paper.
Until it's the same paper every time you get it. Because, legitimately, I stopped buying them because I just kept getting the same paper. I like...
Well, yeah, they do one, you know, like, once a month.
And, yeah. I guess maybe I didn't know it's like, release dates and stuff, because I wasn't that...
They got a website.
But, yeah, once a month, it's like... I don't want to see the same hoboscopes, as they call them, I believe, monthly. I get the same one way too frequently. And that's right.
They call them hoboscopes?
Pretty positive.
It's kind of messed up.
Yeah, it is a little messed up on their part, to be honest.
That's so horrible.
Yeah.
But is it so Draven?
Actually, that's...
That might be something I would say.
It's something that could be so Draven.
I could just start going by DJ Sad Bastard.
Yeah, but you have to be a DJ to do that.
Have you spun many discs here lately?
I mean, in my room.
Yeah, he's a DJ for himself.
Oh, fair enough.
Dance party of one.
Bedroom See, dance party.
Those are fun.
Dance party of one. That sounds like a good band name.
No, that's an album name.
What?
That's an album name, not a band name.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Either that or like a sad movie.
When I make my goth rock record, I'll call it Dance Party for One.
Which, I mean, has already been done really because Dancing with Myself. But...
So that sounds like masturbation.
It really does.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it can be both.
I mean, you know, if I had the chance, I'd ask the world to dance.
To masturbate?
Or, you know.
Yeah, yeah, the audio listeners can't see hand motions.
Oh, it was, I was going up and down with something.
That sounds far worse than
Yeah, it sounds like you actually were.
We are in public, so no, he didn't, people. I'm sorry. Okay,
you know, this
show
is infinitely, like, this podcast is infinitely raunchier when it's just the three of us. Have you noticed this?
Well, no, here's the thing. Yeah, I've done lots of podcasts where it's been small podcasts and big podcasts. And the small podcasts are dramatically different by group to group to group. Like, me, Gomer, and Jules, it was like the most mellow. Like, yeah, okay, all right. Just, or was that me, Gomer, and you? Or not Gomer, me, Jules, and you.
It might
it was all mellow. Now, without certain people, it goes certain ways, and it, you know, I don't know, it's, but every group is different.
Yeah,
you know?
See, the thing is like, I will say, if it's like I have Jules or Gilmer there, it's like, we can go on a whole lot of comic tangents, but it's like, Draven's comic sect's a lot smaller than Jules or Gilmer's.
And I don't read Big Two. So.
Yeah, and then you don't read Big Two either, so it's like, any of that stuff, I can talk about it, but there's not really a sound, like a anything to bounce off of, you know.
I mean, I can talk about indies all day.
Yeah, but, so there's that difference. But yeah, it seems like when it's just the three of us, it always is a bit more raunchy than...
Well, you know, y'all started it.
Actually, which it just kind of really is, I think, to me and Draven.
Like, yeah, I think Draven so started it there.
So shit.
Now,
well, that's... It's just so Draven.
He likes to dance by himself and wants the world to dance with him, though. Yeah.
Only so. I mean, something you have to dance with yourself sometimes. And I think that's the take-home message for today.
Dancing with yourself.
Dance with yourself sometimes.
Fair enough.
So,
Draven, been a while, huh? My, what particular forearms do you have?
It's been...
Let's try to take it back.
Longer than we need to know.
Yeah, anyway, because I have to hear this all the time at the house, so I don't want to hear it right now.
3 months.
All right, so
I actually, me and Draymond have been talking about how much we want to get back into playing board games, but also we have this, and I'm sure a lot of people have the same thing, where it's like, the reason you're scared to buy one is you're scared it's going to sit in your house and, like... Because anytime I try and get people to play board games, it usually goes with, like, hey, guys, you want to, like, come over this weekend? We'll hang out, you know, maybe play some board games or something. Then it ends up being, like, me sitting at my house alone with, like, a 2-liter of Mountain Dew, and I'm like, no one came over.
Shit. You gotta offer something better than Mountain Dew.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like... I mean, it's more just, like, that was, like, a bad joke. But, you know, most of my friends, they're, like... Yeah, in theory, board games sound fun, but they never actually want to play them.
Well, like, yeah.
Well, I do.
We do have board game groups that meet up and everything, and a lot of people meet on weekends, so that's always an option for people. You know, find your local, your friendly local game store. If a game store does not let you play board games in there,
then
you should not be supporting that game store.
Agreed.
Because that's what you do. You support the game store because they support your gaming.
Yeah.
And so we try to support board gamers, you know. And that's why. Because if you don't care if somebody supports you, then you're just going to buy it on Amazon.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it just depends on where people are in their lives, too. It can often be hard to find a group that all have similar schedules.
Yeah,
that's one of our.
That's one of the main reasons.
You know, especially if you have a group of people that have 9-to-5s, that seems to be a little more common. But if you have the 9-to-5 type schedule, you usually have a lot of crap going on.
Yeah, but alternately, I will say I have more free time I found when I was on those 9-to-5 schedules. Now when I'm like, because my schedule is usually like a nighttime, like 5 to 11 or 12,
And you don't want to do anything before.
Either that or your 9-to-5 friends are all at work.
My biggest board game group that was the longest running continual time was like Monday nights at 11.
Yeah.
To like 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Because none of us were, all of us happened to have Tuesdays off.
Yeah.
Now, and that worked really well. That was a pretty good group. Yeah, of course. Now, if you've been board gaming for 4 or 5 hours, you can get kind of cranky.
Yeah,
when it comes to some of those rules arguments.
Especially, and I mean, it all goes back to, in my mind, still the no one I know has ever decided to play Risk at a decent time. It's everyone comes up with the idea we should play Risk at 1 in the morning. And which is the worst time to start a game of Risk.
At least it's not Axis and Allies at 1 in the morning.
Here's my problem with Axis and Allies. And I have like 3 different versions. Alright. Board game groups sometimes like to drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all above age. And the last time I played... So, I've already started... committed to having a few drinks. Bored.
It is a commitment.
Well, because here's the thing. I don't like to drink if I'm going to do anything the next day.
Yeah, I understand that.
And all this other stuff. You know, and if I'm going anywhere, you know, I'm usually a house drinker.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a better call, I find, in most
scenarios. Or a designated driver drinker. Yeah. You know, not that I'm the drinking designated driver.
Yeah, that's a poor choice, Larry.
I have a designated drunk driver. Let them get the tickets. Now, I'm not encouraging drunk driving.
It's a bit more than a ticket, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But anyway, so, you know, we play Axis Allies, and it'll be so long, you know. Okay, for those of you who have never seen me in person, I have a little bit of Irish in me.
A tad bit of Irish.
And I don't drink a little, and I don't drink beer.
Yeah.
If you give me an hour before my next turn, I'm going to have 5 shots. Sitting there.
I understand.
Here's what happened last my last German, Axis so. And Allies game went this way. Turn 1, everybody battled. Turn 2, everybody battled. Alright, and Larry's got a buzz. Alright. Game could probably end in 2 more turns. Now, of course, each turn's taking like 40 minutes, and this is a 5-player game. Alright, by the time it gets to turn 3, I don't remember what I did on turn 2. And I don't... About turn 4.
Yeah.
I was like, screw it. I don't care anymore. Let the Germans win.
As you take another shot.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of on par with a lot of my Risk games, too, because, you know, you're hanging out with a group of, say, 5 people who do like to game. They like to, you know, play some Magic the Gathering or maybe, you know, play some Settlers or something. They're not, like, hardcore. They're not going into the more obscure games. It's just, you know, pretty... standard fare.
And my last Risk game was decided by 1 die roll.
Yeah.
I got all the way down, conquered the entire board, and I got to where I had 2 and they had 1. The only standing army on the entire board was my little army of 2 or 3 guys. And I just lost the die roll because they rolled 2 6s in a row.
Yeah.
That's it. 4 hours a game decided by 1 die roll. No matter what the... And then, of course, you know, they trade in a book.
Yeah.
Bam.
But, yeah, that's my point being is no one decides to play Risk, I feel like. It's like, hey, it's, you know, 8 o'clock or something. Want to play a game of Risk? It's like, no, we've been hanging out and, you know, been drinking a little bit. It's now 1. Yeah, what do we do now, guys? Want to play Risk? Yeah, and everyone starts out, so that would be great, man. That would be wonderful. Let's play a game of Risk. Around 3 in the morning, I'm like, just kill me. Do it.
If you don't attack me now and stop turtling in Siam, I am going to reach over there slap you.
Yeah, exactly. It's that sort of thing. Kill me now. Same with Monopoly. Because the way people play Monopoly is not the fun, short way that it should be.
Yeah, if you play the box rules, it's a lot shorter.
Yeah, but people don't play that.
Nah.
Well, you know, the free parking adds way too random of an element.
Yeah.
Well, also, like, it throws more money back in people's pockets, and if you do that, then the game's going to go longer because no one's going bankrupt.
Right. So, playing with free parking on Monopoly is a mistake.
Unless you want a super long game.
And, like, the other thing with Risk, the other big, you should play with random starting territories
instead of
picking. A, that saves you 30 minutes. B, that forces people to adapt their strategy.
Yeah, it makes it a bit more because everyone has their preferred Risk strategy where they're like, I go for this first, and I go for this.
Camp out in Australia.
Yeah, I camp out in Australia, which is a good favorite of mine just because I can kind of...
It's the easiest strategy.
Yeah, it's the easiest strategy, and it's just people are usually pissed off about it. Or they either are pissed off that I do that, or they don't pay attention to you until you conquer a whole bunch of stuff, and they're like, oh, I see what he did there, starting off with Austria.
Well, you know, and the problem is, you know, the player that knows the strategy, you know, they're usually somewhere on the other side of the map.
Yeah, very true.
Now, as far as Monopoly, there's definitely a game called Power Grid. I always tell people it is a better version of Monopoly. And as far as Risk goes, Sid Meier's Civilization by Fantasy Flight Games is a pretty good game.
How is that in relation to the video game?
It does keep the feel to it, but you can't play that for 48 days.
Alright. Fair enough. That was always my big question with that game. Is I was like, because it's like, I love the video game.
Now, it is like a 4-hour game.
Yeah.
So it's an all-day game that you plan to play all day. Yeah. I just go into it knowing. And if you're playing Risk, let's be realistic. You're probably going to play a 4-hour game.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing most of the people I know, when it's like, they say Risk, they somehow forget that we're going to be here till 4 in the morning.
Well, the box, like, I think the box says it's shorter than it really is.
The box,
I think the box says, like, 1 to 3.
I know you guys have a version of Risk somewhere.
Yeah, we have several versions.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a Doctor Who version.
Now, and here's the thing, too. It could, like...
Yeah,
Risk actually should say...
Undetermined. 20,
it should say, you know, 45 minutes to 4 days, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't say on here.
Till you hate everyone you know.
Till friendships are ruined. You destroyed some of their furniture on the... like, by burning it on the lawn. And... various other friend ending.
Cut a hole in the wall.
Thanks. Cut a hole in the wall.
Okay. Cut a hole in the wall?
He said that, not me.
Okay. Cutting a hole in the wall implies that you're like,
you have like
a knife.
Or a saw.
Well, you know, and you're like, ah, da, 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 da. One thing we said, punch a hole in the wall. But I guarantee you, if you come over to my house and start cutting on the wall, I'm going to be like, hey, Raven.
Raven.
What's up?
Yeah, I'm kind of holding your wall. I don't.
Also, I think you'd ask the question when he walked in your house with a saw. But
I'd use his duct tape saw.
Duct tape saw. All right.
That's a MacGyver joke, by the way. Seems out that wasn't on the podcast earlier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's par for the course here. We'll bring back something that we didn't catch. So I always, the game that I always wanted to play the most but never got because for fear of it sitting in my house and no one playing it is like the Arkham Horror games.
Those are semi-cooperative,
Which, how is your take on semi-cooperative games?
All right, so... Here's the thing. There's different types of gamers. There's alpha gamers.
I want to win.
There's let's have fun gamers who would be happy if it was Go Fish.
Yeah.
They're just there. And then there are puzzle solvers. Alright. Cooperative games tend to bear well with the puzzle solvers.
And Let's Have Fun.
And the Let's Have Fun. I'll play any game, even Go Fish. The problem is, people don't often know they're alpha gamers.
Until they're in a setting that isn't an alpha gamer setting.
Right. Well, until you've played a game with them, you may not know. And an alpha gamer will not like a cooperative game most times.
Are you saying that you are, in fact, an alpha gamer?
I would probably fit into that category with most games.
See, yeah. what you missed was a head nod from Mark. and mouthing of yes. Which as...
And I'm well aware of this.
Yeah, see, I've never played a game actually with you, Larry, so I can't say for a fact that I know this.
And how sure. And then what happens when I play a cooperative game is it's a puzzle game. It's essentially a group working on a puzzle.
Yeah.
So they might as well be a game of solitaire.
Yeah.
A lot of times, like, okay, well, to get the best results, we should do this, this, and this. Now,
yeah, I will say, I'm not sure if I really like that game. I haven't played really a cooperative game in my mind, other than like video games. So I'm not sure if I'd like that, because I will say I am a big fan of dicking the other person over.
That's true.
Which I mean, I do love the Munchkins. I love that.
Munchkin. It's a good game with the right group of people.
Yeah, it can be really fun.
It is definitely a game for the effort, let's have fun crowd.
Yeah.
He knows that he can single-handedly suck all the fun out of the risk game for everybody else at the board. You take it way too seriously.
He looks taken aback, in fact.
He doesn't know what to say.
That's like saying you suck the fun out of chess by putting people in checkmate.
Yeah, no, I mean valid.
It's that's what you're kind of playing the game for.
Yeah, I mean, I will say playing chess not to win is masturbation at that point.
I mean, risk is the same thing.
Yeah, I agree. It's like when you play.
I can't help it. The fact that I just happen to have won every game I've played here is not fun for you people. I warn people, I'll win. You know, if I don't, I'll be surprised and happy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because believe it or not, I don't mind being beaten by a better opponent.
What you're saying is, I just haven't found one.
I went on a 10-year stretch where I couldn't find somebody who would beat me in Risk, and it gets boring.
Yeah, then you stop playing, and the game no longer is fun. I understand that.
I mean, but I've lost games since then.
Yeah.
I haven't lost any in the past 4 or 5 years. But I don't play it that much either.
Yeah, I think Risk is one of those games that is just like...
I feel like you played a bunch when you first get into it, and then...
Yeah, it's kind of like Settlers. Like, I like playing Settlers. If someone said, like, when I was over at their house, want to play a game of Settlers, and we weren't doing anything, I'd be like, yeah, sure, but it's...
I like Settlers. Settlers has one key flaw. With about a 75% accuracy... You can predict who's going to win before the first time the dice are going to roll.
Yeah, I've heard that. I haven't played enough recently since I've heard that to really, you know, play test it myself.
So, when I had the group that would meet on Tuesday nights and play at 4 in the morning, because placement is so crucial...
Yeah.
We had a group that was 4 people... It was 3 people. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah. The guy on the wheel didn't pick right to one the person who placed first. And so when I placed my second city, he looked at it and goes, fuck this. Table flip. Well, yeah. Not table flip.
But yeah, I'm done.
Table, but, you know, like push, shove, yeah. Wreck the board, got up and left.
Yeah, I've seen that happen with,
And the dice were never rolled. You know, I was like... Now, admittedly, I had a better... That gave me a better combination, better position than anybody else.
Yeah.
But I did not... I was not on the wheel. I didn't pick it. I picked the first one. And then, see, the other guy, he knew the math, too.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, his odds of winning are, you know, out the... Because here's the thing. There's essentially, you know, you can count the dots that you have access to. On all the numbers have dots. The dots is the frequency that they appear on 2d6 combinations. So, if you count the dots, the higher the number, the better.
Yeah.
Period. So, if I'm in a spot that has 4, 4, and 4, that's 12. You know, that's insane.
Yeah.
So, if you count my dots on all my stuff and compare them to yours, the percentage of mine is higher than yours is the same percentage that I'm going to beat you.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
I'd say
how much more money I have.
Another gaming thing that some people don't like about me, I'll say, is when I teach someone a game, I teach it how I was taught usually, which is in the way of usually someone kind of being an asshole. Like, because unfortunately, I have classically played games with people who are far better than me at it, which I think is important because otherwise then you don't get better. But,
right.
But then it's like, alternately, when I show someone a game, like, I showed them, Magic at one point, and, like, they're, like, declared attack. I was, like, telling them about, it's like, okay, you declared blockers, okay. And then I was like, well, that's, like, a thing you do. Are you going to block it? And then I was like, well, now I'm going to do this and take them out of the equation, so they're not even there. And they were just like, are you serious? You're a dick. And I was like...
I found the best way to teach Magic is to, like, have the whoever you're teaching play someone, and then you kind of walk them through stuff.
Yeah, but it was
like... Right, now, yeah. As far as Magic the Gathering goes, they have a game called Duels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is designed specifically because if you're a good player... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Pacifically?
Yes.
Pacifically. Anyway.
It's on the Pacific Coast.
Alright.
Hey. Yeah. Specific slayer.
Alright, go on. All right. I'm a dick, sorry.
Yeah, but... It's
how right. I like it. It's designed for the teaching of new players.
Yeah.
And... See, the problem is, when you teach a new player, you're usually way better.
Yeah.
So a lot of people do just that. And what is the person? This person gets their ass creamed, and they're like, this game's no good.
Yeah, that's why I like to walk them through it.
See, I try, but alternately, that's the way I was taught, was in that... But see, I went the other way, where I was like, screw you, I'm going to beat you this time, now that she did that.
You know,
but
that's still like, never beat me with Magic. Yeah.
And also... Let me say, I run a minimum of 2 Magic tournaments a week. I've never seen these people at either one of them.
Yeah, that's... I haven't played Magic in a long time, partially because my cards are at a friend's house who I haven't seen in a very long time.
I haven't played since high school.
And at this point, I get out of Magic consistently for the fact that I don't want to spend money.
Because right, and a lot of people are like that. With Standard, it changes every 6 months.
There's and
a
that's rotation, why,
yeah. You know, so there, you do have to keep a lot of new cards. Although there is a percentage that they'll reprint every every
true.
Set. There are non-rotating constructed formats, which
there's
are
legacy
good.
And stuff
legacy, like. Vintage, Modern. You know, those are non-rotating formats. So if you play Standard a lot, you usually have, you know, after a couple of years of playing Standard, you have a Modern deck. You know, now while stuff will come in that'll shake up the format, you don't ever have to worry about stuff rotating out. Occasionally something will get banned.
Yeah. Restricted, banned.
Yeah, and then there are casual formats. One of my favorite is Poppers, where you can play with only stuff that's a common.
Common decks?
Yeah, it's common only. It's really popular online.
It's a fun... I will say common decks, from when I constructed decks more, are some of the most fun decks to construct, because you're working in a very... like, limited, but therefore you're doing different things you
right.
wouldn't do otherwise.
You know, as Mark Rosewater, the head of R&D for Wizards of the Coast, or for Magic the Gathering, not the Wizards Pacific of the Coast. Coast. What?
The Pacific Coast.
Go on.
Nope, that was them.
That was it?
Are you sure? Any other shots at my slight speech impediment?
I mean, not until any present themselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. let me know if we need to stop and you want to attempt to make any more jokes at my expense. Mm-hmm. I'll gladly stop and let you get those shots in. Yeah.
You're a fair man.
You know, I make fun of other people all the time.
I mean, Jules isn't here, so what else am I supposed
right,
to
right.
do?
Right, fair enough. Yeah, I definitely understand. Yeah. Without Jules here, then there's no Miguel to pick on. Yeah. You know, which I don't know if he is Miguel anymore. You know, without the beard.
Yeah.
You know, Mark was saying that he didn't look Latin without the beard. It gave him kind of an Asian look.
Oh wow, that's a new one. I haven't heard Asian before. I've heard Middle Eastern. I've heard various other things, but never the. The Asian, that's a new one, Jules. I wonder what type of Asian.
Pacific.
The Pacific Asian. Wow, Jules, you're really missing out here on some... I mean, you can't even defend yourself. I feel kind of bad for you. But then again, I mean, you also told me you weren't coming to the shop today, so...
He also never defends himself, like, effectively.
Yeah,
so
he's...
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, he's just going to say that... You know, he doesn't like the first Batman because of Michael Keaton's hair.
And he doesn't like Flashpoint because Batman doesn't cry.
Yeah, which all this I feel like is common knowledge to everyone at this point, that Jules isn't good at defending himself, but...
Or at having opinions.
See, the worst part right now is I feel like we're kind of in a placeholder till Larry finishes his phone call because he was saying something.
And then he was riding me for riding him.
That was a ride fest right there.
No one was dancing by themselves.
Well, I mean, sometimes you don't need to.
I mean, sometimes you don't. The opportunity presents itself.
As
far as that, it's just not there.
Oh, man. But yeah, part of me feels like I should just buckle down and buy a board game today. But
maybe we should ask Larry about two-player games.
Well, see, I don't think there's that many board games.
That's
that really,
the thing, though.
Other than, like, Magic and games of that thing, which is, like, I kind of don't want another card game. Or, I mean, we could go in HeroClix realm, too, which you can do two-player.
That's pretty pricey.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I want something... I kind of want to get a game that's...
complete.
I spend 40, 50 bucks and I have it.
But, I mean, that gets harder and harder as... Because board games nowadays, I feel like it's kind of common for them to throw expansions in.
Yeah,
like,
but
you still
you
have
don't
the whole
need.
Game. Like, look at all that. Like, there's what, like...
Yeah, Catan...
six or seven Catan.
Catan goes over the top, for sure, in a lot of ways.
But, yeah, I mean, most of the stuff.
I mean, yeah, like, I mean... And most of them, like, I feel like Catan, like, standalone game, you can play by itself. All the Munchkin games, there's a million different variants.
And they're all standalone.
They're all standalone, but you can do the really crazy thing of... combining the two.
Yeah. I've still never played Munchkin.
Munchkin's really good, and I feel like somehow along the line my copy of Star Munchkin got kind of a...
I want to say it's in my room.
Yeah, I also feel like something happened and things are missing from it.
Or well, it was in a Ziploc bag for the longest time.
Yeah, and also another thing, Munchkin, it's not a good two-player game.
Cause, yeah, because it's because you're just constantly dicking each other over.
Yeah, you gotta have, like, I'd say really to do Munchkin well, you have to have four to make it really fun. Otherwise, it's just kinda...
Also, that can be kinda semi-cooperative, right? In a way.
It's... I mean, it can be cooperative, because really everyone... It's somewhere between a cooperative and an alpha game, I'd say. Where,
right.
Because, really,
you're cooperative to get...
No one could help or harm anyone and just try and level up and win really fast, because it's based on getting to a certain level and win. But, I mean, alternately, then that's really boring, because you might as well be playing solitaire at that point. Mm-hmm. As Larry said, if no one's interacting with each other, then it really doesn't change anything.
Yeah, definitely.
And so, therefore, you are really looking for, you know, as, I mean, it always says, kill the monster, steal the treasure, stab your buddy. Like...
And cheating's encouraged, right?
To a certain degree, cheating is encouraged. Steve Jackson games are kind of weird like that, where they sometimes they encourage it more than others. Illuminati was definitely the one where they straight up say, if you don't get caught, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that game leads to me not being friends with people when I play that game. I play that with a couple of my friends, and the whole time I stole their money. And they didn't... And also the whole time, one of our friends had also been cheating. So, and they got mad at him for doing that. But ultimately, the friend who won and me were of the ilk where we're like, hey, we're just playing the game. It says to do this. And yeah, then you get people who are like, we don't want to play this game with you anymore. And it's like, don't hit the player, hit the game.
Seriously.
On that one, but...
You're the show. Yeah. It looks like power rules 2-6.
I don't know how good it would be.
Yeah, see, that's another thing. I'm not sure if it is a good...
Because I've never played it, so I can't...
I mean, he says it's like, you know, Monopoly.
Which you can get away with playing Monopoly with two people.
But once again, is it really fun when you play it with two people? Which I really wish Larry was back so he could give us some input on this. Because... Part of me is like, we should buy this $45.
That's not bad for a board game.
Yeah, it's not. And I mean, most of them are around that range these days.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the issue. When I usually spend at least $45 at the comic store every time I come in, do I want to spend another $45?
Exactly.
Okay, I'm not sure if you remember what point you were making on games, but I...
It was about commons, I thought.
Oh, yeah, it was about Magic Commons.
No, well, you're saying they've come out with Duels of the Planeswalkers.
Yeah.
And it's a good way to teach because they get the feeling of accomplishment without getting their butt handed to them.
Yeah.
And you're saying something about the head of R&R.
Yeah, Mark Rosewater said with Poppers, it's really fun because it's the all comic. Mark Rosewater said, you know, restrictions breed creativity.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And it's true. You know, you have to be more creative when you're a lot more limited. You know, yeah. So, and also a cheaper way to get back into it is a format called booster drafts.
Yeah, booster drafts.
They fall under the classification of limited because you get so much product and you build out of that product no matter what.
Right.
There's a sealed deck where you get six packs and you build a deck out of that. And booster draft basically. You open a pack, pick a card, pass it. Somebody passes you a pack, and you pick one. You do that until you get, you know, three packs worth of cards. Now, and you build smaller 40-card decks versus 60-card decks. But, you know, and you can do a draft every week and only spend like $15.
Yeah, which is horrible.
Yeah, and that's not a bad, you know, price point for a lot of people. Yeah, you know?
And that covers the cost of three. Boosters, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
So and prize support.
And then you're having a deck maybe that's not necessarily an A deck, but you have something to play.
And if you're doing it every week, then
you're building up your collection, and if you like the cards of a certain type, you end up with more of those cards. And,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There are cheaper ways to get in.
The one thing I would say with that, though, is how many in those booster drafts, would you say there's groups of people who are very up-to-date on what are the current combos and stuff like that in that?
Well, of course, you know, but that doesn't make as much of a difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because,
seeing one card, knowing there's a potentially another card that combos with it well, yes.
But
that gives you a little prediction. But you still have to see that card.
Yeah.
Well,
A, you have to see it, and B, someone has to have not taken it by that point.
Right, so, yeah.
Because that's the thing that it's like would worry me, because it's like the current... what's the current set?
It's a set called Origins.
Yeah.
Which is a relaunching of the way they tell the story of the Magic the Gathering Planeswalker.
Oh, that's cool. Kind of cool.
Yeah, and now they're all the, instead of sets having a it used to back in the day a set had its own story or no story.
Like the early sets, really no story. I mean,
the story was an afterthought, you know.
But then was it Urza's when they really started the story in? Because I remember reading.
Well, Antiquities, the second set, there was a little bit of story with the core set. They just made up some flavor. Antiquities, they told this legend of a brothers' war. Now, Arabian Nights, it's based on 1001 Arabian Nights. All the flavor text they did the night before they sent it to the printers, and they took quotes out of a youth edition of Arabian Nights. Because that's all they could find. They're we forgot flavor text.
Which I think is, like, one of the biggest, like, points of, like, I feel like that keeps people, it's like, oh, I love that about Magic. Like,
And the way...
It's fun.
The way they're telling the story now, a lot of key points, you see them on the cards, and, and that's the other thing, often they'll suggest combos, they suggest hidden combos in the art and in the flavor text.
I have noticed that, like, with the, I feel like there's some Urza stuff that had that, because that's, I mean, honestly, stuff that I remember the best is Urza's Saga.
Well, in Urza's Saga, they definitely, they revisited Antiquities, which was the second set. They definitely, when those early blocks, it was like, this is the story of this, this block is this story.
Yeah.
And they experimented it after that, trying to get this huge interlapping, and story.
Yeah, because I remember Ravnica too.
Right. And now they really, they want everything to kind of interweave, and they used to have people, and back in the day, the people that wrote the books were bad. And the books were bad.
Yeah. I mean, I won't deny it. I read them as a kid and enjoyed them, but I mean, yeah.
But and then another point, they got people that were established fiction writers to write these stories, so they got better.
Yeah.
And now they're not necessarily pushing books, although they're not against the idea of books, but they're providing these stories for free. So even if you don't want to play Magic, but you just like the ideas of the stories, you can read all the Planeswalker stories on their Uncharted Realms, which is a division of their webpage.
Okay.
Because they want you to know the story. They want you to know the mythos. And the Origins is this set is telling all of their origin stories, so they brought back the dual face mechanic where basically have a card that starts one side and something happens and it flips over and it becomes a Planeswalker. So it's definitely a neat storytelling element to bring back, and tie it into the physical mechanics of the game. There's certain things like where they've even gone so far as to mention, other things, or mention other people or other cards. Are other characters in the flavor text on a different card? Like they mention a character on one card, that isn't even in this set. She's never actually been printed really in any set except for, I believe, Time Spiral. She was printed as a promotional card. But they mention her, it's her goggles, Pyromancer goggles, and it's Jaya Ballard Taskmage or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And she's not in the set, but she's a pyromancer like Chandra is. And, you know, the flavor text is, Chandra, I wish I could have met her. I think we'd get along. You know, or I would like to meet her. I think we would get along. Kind of hinting that maybe you'll see her in the future.
Yeah.
Her character come back, you know. But they've also, you know, implied that these characters will lead a story that will lead to the next set and so forth and so forth. And then there'll be a continuing story going through all the sets, you know, in the multiverse that is Magic the Gathering. Not that I necessarily wanted to go on a magic rant or anything. You know, but yeah, just in games in general, it's hard to get into a game where you just lose and lose. Yeah. And you'd feel like there was nothing you could do. And when you're playing Magic, it's kind of complicated if you don't understand. You know, you don't get that you could have done things differently or this or that could have happened.
Yeah.
So, a lot of times when I'm teaching somebody how to play, they have this product called Dual Decks out, which will have two decks thematically meant to go towards each other. And so, you know, I'll end up playing one, and if I win, you know, and I'll play nice.
Yeah.
You know, because it's more about teaching than winning at that point.
Yeah.
And then I'll say, okay, well, you see what this deck does. This is how it works. And then I'll trade them. Here, you play it. Now I'll play this one. Okay, you see how this deck works. This is how that. Now, which one did you like better?
Yeah.
You know. And, you know, that's usually a good way. But Duels of the Planeswalkers, if anybody wants to go learn to play Magic, that's definitely a good thing.
Good to know.
Now, if you want to get into board games, Settlers of Catan is one of the best-selling games in the world. It is essentially a dice game with a resource management element.
Yeah, it's very simple to learn.
If you want a better version of Risk, I do suggest Civilization. If you want a better version of Monopoly, I suggest Power Grid. If you want a fun party game, I suggest Sheriff of Nottingham. That's a great bluffing game.
Okay.
Also, Machi Kuro. It has all the fun of a gambling game. You know, it's a weird, twisted little game. You can play it mean. It's fun. You know, of course, I like Caverna. You know, as a good strategy game. And Stone Age is a good strategy game. There are definitely games out there for everybody. If you like the card games like Magic, maybe you should try Ascension. It's a deck building game. And it was designed for professional Magic players. It's real popular. Or there's another version of Ascension that was made by somebody else called Star Realms. It's a little cheaper, two-player. Plays a little faster. But it's a space-themed type game. I really like, as far as card games, a card game called Race for the Galaxy. Plays really good with two players or four players. Good family game, Ticket to Ride.
Yeah, I hear Ticket to Ride's really good,
That's another one that plays really good with two, three, four, five, no matter how many players. And it's hard to find those games.
When you're taking that phone call, we're talking about how it's like we should probably find one that is a good two-player game, because sometimes
if you want a game that is good as two players, if I say, but could support more, Ticket to Ride,
all right.
Smash Up is a fast-paced, lighthearted card game.
Wow.
Basically, you have all these different factions. Robots, ninjas, monsters, aliens, you know, and you get two factions. And so you have a deck of robot aliens or ninja pirates or whatever, you know, or ninja zombies, you know. And then, you know, you have a lot of different combinations like that, you know. So it has some good replay value. And Now, it can be played equally with 2, 3, 4, 5 players. Puerto Rico, or Ticket, not Puerto Rico, Race for the Galaxy has a special 2-player mode. So, it plays like normal, but you get a couple bonus actions that actually go really well for a 2-player game. And it has a good strategy in depth. There's tons of expansions. Ticket to Ride, the board scales.
Okay. Kind of can't you do that with Catan? Or I feel like there's another game.
Catan has an expansion.
Yeah.
Ticket to Ride, the way it works is a lot of the routes are double routes and can only be used once if there's 2 or 3 players.
Okay.
But they can be used twice if there's 4 or 5 players. So the board gets that much bigger. And a lot of the action takes place on board with Ticket to Ride. So
it's not a lot of just like
it plays similar to playing somebody in chess. You know what they're doing. They're making this move. Okay, so I need to make this move. And there is a little bit of dodge and guesswork, but in a two-player game, it has a very mono-y-mono chess feel. Like, I'm trying to outwit you, you're trying to outwit me. Because only one person can claim the route, and you're like, and there's, 100 different routes. How many of them do you need to complete your tickets? How many of them do I need? Which ones do we both need? Because the destination tickets connecting point A to point B, I don't know what your point A's and your point B's are. I only know mine. And if I connect them, I get those bonus points. If I don't, I lose them. And the game ends when somebody claims or spins or places their last trains or whatever. So it's really simple to pick up. But it can get pretty complex, and there's different boards to throw things out. There's all kinds of expansion. Now, there's also another game that does play okay with 2 players called Season, but it can get super douchey. And there's quote an advanced deck that I don't suggest using unless you're playing only with 2 players. Because if you use those cards with 3 players, one player gets screwed and they're going to hate the game. If you were to come in here and say the 2-player game, those would
one
be
one that stacks well, obviously.
It's scalable. The Ticket to Ride, Race for the Galaxy would definitely be.
Yeah.
If you like more, Race for the Galaxy is more a card game. Ticket to Ride is kind of your classic board game. Ascension, does work as a good 2-player game. But naturally, I think Race for the Galaxy is better when it comes to 2-player mode. Because it's a little more strategy in depth.
Okay.
Cool.
A little more higher variety.
How do you feel about board game expansions in general?
They're real hit or miss.
Yeah.
I mean, Catan's numerous.
See, like, Catan has tons of expansions, and a lot of them are just different slight scenario twists.
Yeah.
Some of them are legitimately a different game. Catan versus Catan City Knights, those are 2 different games almost.
Yeah.
I call it Catan Advance, Cities and Knights, because it's just, here's the base game, here's the more in-depth strategy. That doesn't bother me so much. Barbarians and Traitors, Barbarians and Traitors is neat, because it basically adds a little twist. And the way that one, here's 25 different twists you could put into the game. Put over whichever ones you like. While it itself doesn't add a lot, it increases the replay value
a lot.
So Cities and Knights and Traitors and Barbarians are the 2 best-selling expansions for it. They, of course, have several others. But, you know, so you got to give me something more than just more of the same. You've got to give me either, you know, something worth, you know, me spending what the justifying the amount. Justifying me learning the new game. Sometimes the game is good the way it is. With games like Power Grid and Ticket to Ride, a lot of their expansions are just a different board.
Yeah.
Doesn't change the way the game's played.
It
just changes variant. The strategy. So, I mean, and when those are reasonably priced, adding that extra variance, not bad. Increasing the strategy, Cities and Nights just adds an extra level to it, you know, and it's a natural progression. So, while it is a totally different game, it still has that same flavor.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Munchkin, they have several different versions where it's slightly different, you know. It's just changing the theme.
Yeah, and I mean, and you can even, combine the two decks or just play one by itself.
Smash Up, all the expansions are just more and more variants. And, you know, and they're fun thematically. And it's fun and lighthearted, and it sticks with the game well. Now, but definitely come by and then, you know, come in, talk to somebody in your local game store. You know, they're gonna know about these games. They've played these games. In fact, they probably have demos that you can play.
Like Larry, you have the store has demos, right?
We have a library of about 50 demos.
Yeah.
And then we have other people who come in. Like this Saturday, even we'll be having. There's a organization called Envoy. They just go around and do a bunch of demos. Have a representative who's going to start coming by on a regular basis. We also have a representative from Cryptozoic Games that comes by on a regular basis. And, of course, you know, we have a representative from Eagle Griffin Games that should be starting to come by here on a regular basis and doing demos for these new games. So you don't even have to trust our opinion. You know, and we understand that while some of the games have an expensive price point and you want to jump into it, just remember, a lot of them are cheaper than the latest copy of Madden.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, they're going to be worth more than in a year from now, they're going to be worth more than your year-old copy of Madden. Also, I've never had to buy a new version of a board game because I got a new table. I never opened the board game and had to download a patch to play it. You know, now there are some times where I've had to look up some rules. And I'm speaking to you, Fantasy Flight. Write better rule books if you hear.
Does it just not make any sense?
Sometimes they do good rewrites, but a lot of their original games are hard to write.
So you have to download a patch.
Download a rulebook patch. Gotcha.
Yeah. But that being said, you know, new Image comic, Beauty, looks interesting. If you like the oddball ones, definitely looks interesting. Worth checking out.
Yeah.
Just remember the big difference between board games and video games. Board games add a social skill. Video games, you're often just alone playing with yourself.
Which Draven seems to be fond of.
I really am.
Yeah, so I like video games. They're fun. But really, we're humans. We're social creatures for the most part.
Some of us aren't.
And you crave those social interactions.
Well, all
right. Final thoughts.
Let's see. Really stoked to read the new issue of Descender that came out. It's been great. Jeff Lemire still rules.
Also, the new run of Phonography.
Phonogram?
What? How do I read phonography? Yeah. Anyway, phonogram.
Yeah, there's no Y in that whatsoever.
But it's out and it looks good, so.
Yeah. Also, it didn't come out this week. It came out the other week. I've been enjoying Broken World.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a 4-issue miniseries.
There seems to be a lot of miniseries.
Which, see, I think
out.
Is great.
I don't mind. I think it's good miniseries coming out, you know.
Also, it's, I will say, you guys get more of my money that way because, you know what, if it's a 4-issue, if I only have to commit 4 issues to it, I will definitely be more likely than where it's like, you know, am I going to read this for 2 years and then it's going to get to shit and then I'm not going to enjoy
it.
Right,
right.
Like,
yeah,
when it's 6 issues, I'm like, yeah.
It's less of a gamble than with an ongoing. Definitely.
Well, right, and you know, you're like more likely to pick up all 4 issues,
yeah.
You know, or all 6 issues or whatever, than go, well, I'm going to pick up every issue of this till the end of time.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
looking at you, Kirkman.
Alright, well, we'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Who wants to do it? 1, 2, 3.
Good night, Elaine.